Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a bomb, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Hey up, it's episode 18 of Alt Down Under with me, Luke Scanlon. Hello everyone, how is it going? Couple of weeks since the last episode, and what an episode it was. Absolutely love chatting to Gabriel, bassist from the Murder Capital, and just, man, I've seen a lot of clips of those guys playing since they've got back over in Europe. They've been playing some absolutely chaotic shows in my homeland and just kind of spreading the madness that is their live shows everywhere that they play at the moment. So love to see it. A couple of really cool clips from that chat up on our Instagram page at the moment too. You can go check those out at alt.down.under, rolls off the tongue. And see those really good clips of Gabriel chatting about how good the Irish music scene is right now and the importance of Shame, British post-punk band that kind of lifted the lid on the whole movement. Kind of, yeah, 2017, 2018 sort of period. Along with it came bands such as the Murder Capital, Fontaines DC, of course, and heaps of others. Bands such as Dead Letter have come along, Folly Group, Egyptian Blue, all kind of riding that wave of the post-punk explosion. Love to see it.
Alternative Down Under.
All right, on to this episode then. This is a chat with a brilliant Narm-based, Melbourne-based artist with a bit of a gear shift from last week. We go from post-punk into nice, soothing, atmospheric, almost like an audible hug in the form of Annie Rose Maloney.
Are you the same? Do you hurt? And have you loved and lost and got what you deserve?
That's just a sample there of one of the tracks off her new album, which landed late February 28th of this year, entitled Circle Walking. It is such a lovely listen, honestly. Just an album for kind of relaxing to, or just going about your daily life, you know. Just if you're traveling somewhere, having a bit of a pensive moment, or you do, as I say, need that little hug, that little pick-me-up, something with a bit of warmth, something with layers, then put this record on. It is beautiful. So in the chat, we're going to get into Annie's day job. She works as a teacher. And what has she learned from that? What do you take away from being around children, that element of childhood wonder, and the kind of lack of filter that they have, which I think is actually a very nice thing. Obviously not great when they're pointing out how big your head is, in my case. But that sense of wonder and filter off when they just feel things. They just experience things as they are. No subcontext, no learnt prejudice, and just being in the moment. And also, as I say, that folk sound obviously links back to Artists Gone By, that real element of storytelling. And that is truly embedded in Annie Rose's tunes. So yeah, a chat I'm very much looking forward to. Bit of a different sound to some of our usual artists here on Alt Down Under. Something nice and chill, something with a lot of depth. It's a lovely conversation and thrilled to have Annie Rose Maloney on board. So let's get into it. My chat here on episode 18 of Alt Down Under with Annie Rose Maloney.
We fell apart quicker than we knew, and I'm probably hurting every part of you. Hold me, hold me, hold me like you're never gonna hurt me. Hold me, hold me, hold me like you're never gonna hurt me.
Annie Rose Maloney, welcome to Alt Down Under. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
So just off the record, before we started the record button, we were speaking about what you do. It's a day off for you today, but normally you're a teacher, and that's a big part of who you are and what you're about as a musician, I believe. I'm presuming, is that correct?
Yeah, well, it's hard to, once you're a teacher, it's hard to escape it, and it will infiltrate every other aspect of your life in some way. So yes, it's involved in the sometimes the creative side of my life that isn't my teaching life. Really, really love my job as a teacher, and find probably quite a lot of inspiration from my work to fuel my creative side. But as well as that, it can also be very tiring to be working.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I grew up with a teacher. My mum, she's retired now. My mum was a teacher, so I know exactly what it's like. I also know what it's like to be on the end of a teacher telling off, not only at school, but also when you come home.
Definitely.
So yeah. I was getting it from all angles growing up.
Yeah, totally.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
Absolute nightmare. So is that, Joe, when I actually read that you're a teacher, I was actually kind of astounded because I was like, having friends and speaking to people who are musicians via doing this podcast, I know how all-consuming being an artist is. So
yeah,
you must have some serious reserves of brain space, power, energy, all Maybe. Going on. I don't know how you actually balance everything. Is it quite a tough juggling act for you, or
yes,
feels quite natural?
Oh, both. I think since the release, I've actually felt quite a lot of I've needed to almost mentally have a little breather from continue. Like before I got to this point with music, hang on a second. I just got it. Yeah, before I got to this point, last year I went on 3 tours around Australia and was as supporting other musicians whilst working full time. And I found that to be really energizing at the same time, but I don't realize you'd go on the weekend, get on a plane, go to another state, come back, teach the class, assess their assignments, and then you go all over again. And I found it really exciting, but I also think that once the launching and the releasing has come around, I've definitely felt a deplete in the stores of energy to keep going. I think, sort of think that there's going to have to be a time of generating a bit of quiet energy back.
Yeah, letting the dust settle.
For sure.
Yeah, it's mad because obviously I come from the UK. Doing a countrywide tour in the UK is like, it can be tough, but
yeah,
you're literally doing Australia, which is essentially flying around Europe.
Yeah.
So it's different time zones. It's all going on. Totally. So absolutely fair play to you, man. That is unbelievable. And yeah, I was just doing a bit of reading. Obviously, the album that came out, congratulations, end of February, Circle Walking. Absolutely love it, by the way.
Thank you.
We'll come on to that a bit more in depth a little bit later. But yeah, just staying on the theme of being around children and working with kids, do you think that that kind of aspect of youthfulness and kind of their different take on the world perhaps influences you in ways? And I don't know, because obviously, I guess we're a similar age. I'm totally guessing. I have no idea
how old you are,
but guessing rough age. Do you come across any issues that kind of perhaps faced by kids nowadays that are different to what we perhaps had growing up?
Yeah, definitely. I think everything around, especially when you're in a school and you notice kids. I think the best thing that's happening as a teacher that I notice is that kids are able to access their sort of sovereignty a little more, which I think means that they speak out a lot more about what's affecting them and advocate for themselves a lot more. There's less, I think, when I was at school, I felt like we had to be very controlled, and I don't remember as much acting out or liberty to speak about different things. And I think the challenges that equally comes with challenges, so with this uprise of young people feeling like they need to express, I think the challenge for families and for the schools and for teachers is being able to capture all of that and hold it, because we want everyone to express and share themselves. But I think the trouble is that there's no there's not enough support a lot of times in the system of schools to make sure that everyone's being held in that. But I think it's just one of the most wonderful things. I think that I think young people are always going to be telling us the way forward, and the way that I've been working with kids all the time is building up their confidence to be who they need to be, and the confidence I do not try and box any of it in. So sometimes my work can feel very emotional and very well-being oriented, but I think that's for the betterment of the kids being able to be themselves a lot more.
No, I think you're right. That's a great way of putting it into words, how the differences between our upbringing perhaps when we were kids. I also quite like the thing about, like, I've got a very young niece, and when I spend time with her, and obviously the kids you deal with are much older. She's only two. She's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
She calls me Muke. She's not handling her L's very well at the moment. One thing I love about spending time with her and just kids in general is, like, they just do stuff that feels good. So totally. there's no pretense to it, and it's just go with your gut feeling. I think that's something that we lose as adults as well, and like that element of play, and just because we kind of go with, like, we're aware of the future as a prospect rather than just doing the here and now.
And you can see that in kids, that they're crossing these thresholds in their awareness of, I guess, their playfulness and their imagination and their inquisitive nature can start to, I think, around year eight or like in high school, early high school, it starts to drop and they start to feel the weight of the world more. And it's a really challenging time when they become more aware of how things can be harder out there. And it's a very sensitive time to be a teacher, and a sensitive time because you want to, it's so, like, schools, I think, can be some of the most damaging places for young people, really. And you want to encourage the imagination and the inquisitive nature to keep expanding. But once you get into these walls and these ways of curriculum following things and testing things, like, kids start to shrink and they're sitting down all day. Like, I can't think of any kid that, if you see a kid on the weekend, they're often just up and about. They can't sit still.
And totally right.
It's just interesting how in some ways, their nature, I think, you know, how much responsibility do we have as adults and systems in sort of suppressing some of that excitable, happy curiosity in our young people. I don't think it's just taken away from them from themselves sometimes.
No.
I think we
definitely right. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? We try and get everyone singing off the same hymn sheet, but not everyone's into the music, essentially.
Totally.
Yeah, Jesus. Well, carrying on with that kind of theme of the gut feeling, I think that's something that's very evident in your album. As I said, came out end of Feb. We've spoken about how hectic a time that was for you touring around Australia. Unbelievable album, and like, it's definitely one that you can just listen front to back, and it's just a seamless, very nice journey through each of the tracks. Tell us about how you kind of arrived at the point of the album and how you arrived at a point of being so happily open about what you were writing about as well.
I've got heaps of songs, but I just picked those ones because for this album, for this project, I tried to record the album and I tried to so the songs have been written at various times. So some of them were written a long time ago and some of them were written more recently. And so I didn't just sort of write an album. I said it was almost like a collection of songs which carry a similar grain or feeling that I think is what brings them together. And I tried to record and put these songs together for years. I'm thinking like 8 years. There's been like attempts at different projects and iterations of this. And I think when it came to this particular moment, I think with all the trying, I've tried different producers, I tried different people, recording me and different band arrangements. And this album came about because I wanted there to be the songs in their most rawest, purest form without any of the noise around them. And I just was like, I just want to go as simple as possible and capture the songs as live as possible. And like, it made everything feel great when I was like, I don't want anything interfering. And all of a sudden everything became alive and there was just too many options. And I think there is too many options for me whenever I think about recording and different opinions. And I think that was probably one of my greatest lessons for my whole life, not only just the process is I'm not going to put things out that don't feel fully aligned, and I don't care how long it takes. But I think making sure that I'm honoring the song in the best, most purest form has felt, honestly, I was thinking, I think I wrote it a little while ago, like the law of least effort. It was like effortless, but I think it also, because it felt so effortless, it sort of became a lot, I think it became a lot more powerful, because it wasn't full of too much going on. It was allowing things to be as they are and as natural as they are. Yeah,
definitely. Joe, that's actually like so heartwarming to hear as well. And like, just honestly, the smile on your face, I can kind of tell there was a moment where you're like, oh, shackles off sort of thing. I can actually just do this how I want to do it. And you're so right. It must be really hard as an artist when you're trying to just, well, get advice from people and then decide how you want to go about a project. Because you're right, there's 1,001 ways of doing one thing, isn't there?
Yeah, totally.
So that's amazing. But one thing I also want to speak to you about at the core of your tracks, and I think there's kind, because obviously there's kind of some folky elements in there, but I think at the core of all of it is just the storytelling aspect. Mm-hmm. And all of your tracks have a nice story to them. I don't think they exist just for the sake of existing. They do take you on a journey, which is really nice. So is that something that you're always thinking of when you're putting a track together, about what journey I guess you're gonna give yourself in writing it, but also what the fans and listeners will have whilst they take it on as well?
When I write, I don't think I think about anyone else, actually. Like, I don't actually
selfish.
And I when I recorded the album, I didn't really care. Like, I didn't really think about anyone else when I did that either. Like, I think the beauty of being a teacher and having like another job that's so consuming is that I think it means that I can be even more selfish in the way that I feel like I've got permission to just not, I don't worry about what other people think, because I'm not trying to make a career out of this at this moment. Like, I think I can lean into the fact that I can just go with whatever I want, and if people are into that, then that's going to mean that I'm giving the best version of myself out into the world. So yeah, I think when I was writing the songs, they all come from a place, but they all come from a place within me because of a moment that I've experienced. And I think a lot of them felt like quite personal when I was writing them, and sometimes I was even shocked that I was saying some things or acknowledging some things to myself in the songs. And I'd find myself really emotional when I'd write certain things. I Time for Gladys, which is one of the songs, I remember finding myself just bawling when I wrote that, because although it's a song about, to me it was a song about hoping to meet sort of a happier way of life and meet a more optimistic way of life when I was feeling really dark, and I sort of didn't ever expect to be happy, and so that's sort of just more of a metaphor, that song, for happiness, not actually a person or anything. But I really wrote that for myself and realizing how unhappy I'd been, and that's all of the songs, and I think that's what bundles them all together. There's only 7 of them on the album, but they all come from a similar pain or a similar place inside of me that feels so purely vulnerable and sad and raw or happy, but whatever it is, they've got a similar energy about them, which is why I put them all together, and I think they work well together.
Absolutely. It sounds like a really freeing process that you went through, and like, fair play to you as well, because being so open and putting that mirror up in front of yourself must be like quite a daunting thing to begin with. And in particular, there's a track, one of the tracks, I Run From Pain. I made a note of one of the lyrics that I was like, wow, I'm always numb, is that okay? Or am I losing out from not learning how to stay? And I think that's like, obviously that's your own personal thing, but I think a lot of people have been through that experience where they have a bit of a ha, and it's that fight or flight moment, isn't it? And you do kind of have that internal battle where you think, okay, how do I go about this?
That is definitely that feeling. And worrying, that when you say goodbye to things or you move away from something, that you're actually not growing because you're avoiding it, or you're not leaning into it, and you're not developing. And I used to always question that. It's like I didn't feel comfortable doing something, so I wouldn't do it. And then I was like, but should I be, or should I be trying harder? And am I going to lose out from running? And you never know. I guess you just have to work that out as you get old.
Got to take the leap, right? Got to take the leap. But no, I honestly have thoroughly enjoyed listening to the album. For me personally, my favorite track is probably Hold Me. I just think the layering of the vocals on that are amazing, and then just the beautiful soft keys in that as well is just like, oh
yeah,
it honestly feels like a hug in a song. That's probably how I would describe it. It's just like, oh yeah. And it's actually quite nice because obviously I live very far from home, and like every now and then you hear a track and you're like, oh, do you know what, it would actually be quite nice to see my mum.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's one of those sort of tracks. That's kind of the impact. So yeah, you've made me a blubbering mess as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, if you're ready, Annie Rose, we'll get down and make a dream gig venue.
I'll have 2 pints, please. Oh, I love this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
Okay, right. The dream gig venue. Let's get into it. First of all, can you please tell me the name of the venue and what kind of capacity you want at the dream gig venue?
Yeah, I would love the capacity to be 50 people or like less.
Nice.
Just tiny.
Nice and intimate.
And the name was a hard one, but I was thinking, I just wanted to make sure that people knew that they had to sit down. And it was sort of like, yeah, I haven't fully got the name, but it was more like just the it's sit down, wind down, slow down. I don't know exactly, but it's definitely I think it's important for me. My favorite thing about gigs sometimes is just being comfortable and sitting and watching and listening.
And absorbing, actually
not
being
sort
in the moment.
Battling next to the person next to you and getting people pushed past you and having drinks spilled on you. I just really enjoy that.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Southeast Asia at all? To Thailand? Anywhere like that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Did you go to Pai in the north at all?
I don't think so.
Because instantly when you said sitting down, because this place is great. I think it's called the Jazz Bar or something like that. Quite a generic name. But I went there on my proper gap year when I was 18. Yep. And then I went back last June. So I just turned 30. So it's quite a surreal experience. This bar hadn't changed in the whole time, which is actually really nice. I loved it when I was 18. And you can go up to this place, you can buy a little pre-rolled spliff at the bar.
Yeah.
And then you go down and there's this guy that everyone calls Jesus, because he's like this old American dude that's clearly went to Pi about 25 years ago and never left. But unbelievable guitarist. And it's just like proper bluesy vibe, really low lighting, but everyone's just sat on the floor having a drink and having a spliff. It's the best thing. I instantly thought of that when you said sitting down. I was like...
Oh, yeah. It's so nice sometimes. It's also the buzz of being up and about and a big crowd is exciting, but I just think,
absolutely.
There's something nice about just being able to sit, watch and have yourself, just feel whatever you want to feel and think whatever you want to think and, have a moment.
Totally right. Get lost in music. Okay, up next, dress code. What are you going for?
I'm a deep advocate and passionate tracksuit pant wearer, so dress code is literally... bras off, the most comfortable tracksuit pants, and that's it. Just don't come done up.
Yeah.
Just be really comfortable.
Yeah.
I sometimes just wish I could perform in trackies and people just tell me to. Like, I love just being comfortable.
Oh, man, it's the best. Yeah. Okay, up next, free drink, free food. What's on the menu, Annie Rose?
The menu, for me, if we're just sort of slouching around, we're sitting and we're in trackies and going with the law of least effort and not really trying to think too much, I would just have an array of toasted sandwiches, really. It would just be
That's great.
It would just be, and I don't think there's a person in the world that would be disappointed with a toasted sandwich. So it's like
absolutely
toasted
not.
Sandwiches, you know, I guess you can even build your own, which would actually make it even better.
Yes.
And drink wise, like I shuffle between a couple of ideas. Like I wouldn't put anything boozy on. I'd keep it booze free. I still like I drink. I am boozy sometimes, but not really. But I don't know. It would almost be warming things. So things that are not cold for me. And it would either be really nice teas, or which is sounding really boring for a bar. People like that sounds boring. Or like really good cacao.
Not at all.
Something that's quite warming and cozy, just to bring you into that feeling of being warm and cozy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Instead of more like a
well, as I say, like I can imagine. Really. Yeah, listening to the hug that is the song "Hold Me" with a nice cup of something hot.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Okay, up next, support act, dead or alive. Who would you like there?
Yeah. That was a good question because, like, you can go in so many ways, but going with the law of least effort feeling again, I think the people that played on my album are all brilliant musicians in themselves. I had Andrew McMahon, I had Ruby Gill, Olivia Halley from OPEP, Jess Alwood, who plays in many, many bands. And so I would probably ask them to open up with some poetry and maybe a like from Ruby Gill and probably some sort of cover arrangement. I know that Angie and Liv used to play in a sort of a punk band together, and we're often singing about things like netball and just crazy silly songs where they play topless and whatever. And I'd probably, because they're in my immediate community. Friends and very talented musicians, I'd want those guys there because I think it would be an incredible night if we could all be there.
Oh, absolutely. Joe, so my favorite time, like I can't play a fucking recorder, but some of my favorite times in and around live music is like I used to run a little festival just outside London, did it for a few years, did it alongside a good mate, and him and a load of his proper muso friends. Sometimes at the end of these nights, there was like a little TP stage, and they would just have the longest, like hours and hours of just jamming sessions.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Because they were such good musicians, it was just like everything seemed to just pitch at the right and reach a crescendo at the right time. It was unbelievable. It was so good.
So easy for people. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Exactly.
And finally, the last question for the Dreamgate venue. Who would you like running the front door security? I'm guessing there won't be too much trouble at this venue. So.
No, there won't be. But there would have to be some standard set, I suppose, making sure that no people were not getting too dressed up.
I quite like that. That's like an inverted club mantra, isn't it? You're too dressed up, go
you're
home.
Too dumb, I actually think, and this is like a sidestep probably, but I would probably choose my harmonica teacher, who was an Australian icon blues harmonica player, Chris Wilson.
Okay, and he, awesome.
Big burly guy, but a very, very tender person. But like just I think he has security vibes. but he also was such an advocate for my art and my music and my development as a musician. And I just want him to be there in some capacity, making sure that he used to just tell me, he's like, just don't listen to dickheads. Don't let them in. Don't like, he was just really good at making sure I kept on my own path. And I think having someone like that at the door of a gig, he would be making sure that no one that shouldn't be there doesn't get in.
Nice. I've got a couple of mates like that. If you saw them on the other side of the street, you're like, do not mess with that guy. But they're just a big huggable bear, essentially. Absolutely. Well, thanks ever so much for building the Dream Gig venue, and thanks for dropping by for a chat, and Rose, really appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Luke.
Alternative Down Under.
Oh, really enjoyed that chat. Annie Rose Maloney there. My thanks to her again for taking time out from her very hectic schedule, teacher, musician, Don't know how she finds the time to do it, plus going on tour. Absolute madness. But yeah, once again, very grateful for her company. Do go and check out her album that came out February 28th, Circle Walking. As I mentioned right at the top of the show, a beautiful record, one that just makes you want to kind of curl up. We're cozying down for winter now in Melbourne, and it's, yeah, I think the perfect backdrop for that time of year. Be sure to check out her socials and stay up to date with when she'll be playing, because live, I can imagine, oof, that hits you in all the feels. Thanks once again for dropping by on another episode of Alt Down Under with me, Luke Scanlon. I'll be back with you real shortly with yet another episode. In the meantime, enjoy your gigs and catch you next time.